Sorry about that. 1 John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Let's see. Okay. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who does right is right, righteous, and he is righteous.
Thanks, Philip. You know, I think it's kind of strange. I have many memories of Christmases during my childhood. At the same time, I have only meager recollections of Easters from my childhood. My hunch is that it was because of the anticipation of opening up presents on Christmas morning. Presents didn't happen on Easter morning. A basket full of candy? Yes. Presents? No. You see, I grew up in an agnostic family, so as I was growing up, Easter didn't have the meaning it does for me now. In my childhood, Easter was about candy, chocolate bunnies, and jelly beans. Easter was a celebration of spring. Now I know that Easter marks the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, a resurrection to everlasting life. It's the pinnacle of the church year. It's the epitome of our faith. It's my favorite holy day. Without it, Christmas loses its true meaning. I believe my childhood experiences of Easter are the reason why I prefer to say Resurrection Sunday. The term Easter has baggage that I want to leave behind. The focus needs to be on resurrection, and not only the resurrection of Jesus. The focus of the resurrection season also includes our potential for resurrection, both individually and as a community. Let me say that again. The focus of the resurrection season also includes our potential for resurrection, each of us as individuals, and also our potential for resurrection as a community. I've come to find that there is a gift we open every Resurrection Sunday. We are given an invitation. In the middle of the pain and confusion of the cycle of life and death, we are invited to resurrection. It's a gift we are to use. Resurrection is a gift we are to practice. To practice. I remember a gift I received one Christmas morning when I was 12 or 13 years old. My parents bought me a beginner's electric guitar with a mini amp that ran on a 9-volt battery. That guitar had a flying V-shaped body to make it look like flames shooting out the back of the guitar. It was black with a red lining. Well, another gift that came along with that guitar and amp was guitar lessons in a nearby city at the back of a music instrument store. I remember those lessons in a room the size of a small closet. The room was just big enough for two humans and two guitars to fit. Well, guess what? I took 4 years of guitar lessons in that cramped room. And more importantly, I practiced daily. I became quite good. Much better than I am now, to tell the truth. My parents had put an investment in my potential with that beginner guitar at the beginning of my high school career. Late in my junior year, my parents put a much better guitar on layaway at the music shop, and I bought a larger amplifier with money I earned through doing odd jobs, mostly mowing lawns around town. Yeah, I was much better at playing guitar back then. Why? Because I practiced daily. Something I no longer do. That's why I'm not as good. Daily practice is the key to getting better at anything. So let's ask ourselves a question. Do we want to get better at resurrection? Oh, wait a minute. Does that sound too churchy to really be able to answer? Do we want to get better at resurrection? Well, what does it mean to resurrect? To go from death to life? Yes, but it's more than that. To go from death to eternal life. And eternal life is not only in the sweet by and by, my brothers and sisters. No. Eternal life is a quality of life that starts right now. What is the gift of resurrection specifically? Listen again to the beginning of the first verse of 1 John chapter 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. We are resurrected as children of God. Being a child of God is a gift of love from God. You are a child of God. We are children of God together. Through practicing resurrection, we become more and more like Jesus. John tells us that what we will be has not yet been revealed. Did you really hear that? The children of God have not yet been fully revealed. We are in a continual process of becoming. The children of God are still not fully revealed many centuries later. The final and full reveal awaits the second coming of Christ. And we're still waiting. So, how do we grow into who we will be as children of God? In other words, how do we practice resurrection? Well, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has shown us the way. As children of God, we are to live as Jesus lives. Very similar to what we heard in the children's story. We learn this as we study the gospel accounts. Think about what observations you have made. I'd love for you to share some of them later during the sharing portion of the worship service. I'd like to share one and kind of dive in deep. Jesus integrated people into community, or sometimes he reintegrated people into community. So where is healing needed in our community? Are there places or events in our community where different groups of people remain largely separate from each other? How about finding ways to integrate the faith community in Hutchinson across cultural lines? European, African, Latino? Even when I've been at interdenominational gatherings in Hutchinson, they've been largely monochromatic. Well, how about seeking relationships with people in nursing homes and retirement communities? We can adopt one of the many care facilities right here in town, visiting as often as possible. We could share our gifts and seek to discover the gifts hidden away in the nursing homes. We could try to find ways to allow those hidden gifts to find expression in the broader community. And think about where we already have some connections. Legend, Diversicare, Sunshine Meadows, the Cedars. How might we strengthen those connections? And what about other hidden communities? People in prison, people who have a disability, people who have mental illness, people who are homeless. We have numerous representatives of each hidden community right here in Hutchinson. Each of them has gifts to offer, but for various reasons, they have barriers to expressing those gifts to the broader community. How do we empower them to share their gifts? Because resurrection, at its best, goes beyond me and you, or even us. Resurrection is about living in a community where everybody has an equal chance of thriving and contributing to the health of the community. Embracing community means a deep change in our lives, and that can be scary. But if we freeze in place, we cannot grow. Eternal life will not be in us. We will not look like a child of God because we are not following God's lead, being obedient to God's call in our lives, practicing daily. It's important, essential to embracing resurrection, realizing that we bear the name of Jesus in our community. I'm reminded of a story that I've heard that has impacted my life. And I want to close with that story, originally written by Kendall Langford. Alexander the Great was one of the most powerful and effective military generals in human history. What he was able to accomplish in such a short period of time still baffles modern historians and military generals alike. And while there are countless stories and myths that a person could point to in order to demonstrate his genius, my favorite from his life also helps us understand one of the key truths found in the Bible. And that truth is that the Christian bears the name of God. Let me explain. During one of Alexander's great conquests, and like many times before, he and his army were engaged in a very serious and important battle to take over more land in the region. But unlike other battles, this time one of his soldiers did the unthinkable and defected from his ranks. While the fighting was at its fiercest, this particular soldier was filled with the certainty of death and fled the scene of the fighting, exposing himself as a great coward, which was an unbelievable embarrassment to the Greeks. That man was, of course, tracked down, detained, and was forced to wait for that awful meeting he would have to have with his commander. After the battle, the coward was brought into Alexander's tent and forced to stand before the glorious leader in all his shame. Seconds seemed like hours in that setting, and it felt like the weight of 1,000 horses was tied around his neck. While barely able to lift his own head, he stood trembling before his general, awaiting the sure condemnation that was to come. Alexander finally broke the piercing silence. In his confident voice, he spoke with great authority, saying, "Soldier, why did you run?" Leaving that statement hanging hauntingly in the air. After moments that seemed like lifetimes, the man finally forced out those obvious words to say, "Sir, I left because I was afraid." The next words out of Alexander's mouth pierced the man, for in that moment he would have preferred a death sentence instead of a question. He would rather have a spear plunged into his own heart than be asked the question that would follow. Instead of pronouncing his death, Alexander looked directly at the quivering man and said, "Soldier, what is your name?" He asked as if he already knew the answer. The soldier bowed his head in awful shame, barely able to admit the painful truth that his name was also Alexander. Upon hearing this, the mighty leader forcefully demanded, "Then you will either change your behavior or you will change your name." You will either change your behavior or you will change your name. We are called Christians. Our name comes from Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. May our behavior, our practice daily be worthy of our name. Amen.